All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am Mr. Fourth Row, and tonight, in this episode, I am joined by a very special guest. He is the president of one of my local promotions here in the Colorado area, and that is Mr. Austin Reddick. Austin, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Artie. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. So, let's kind of maybe start at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up as a wrestling fan?
Yeah. Well, so for I'm in my early 30s, and like most wrestlers my age, I was a huge Shawn Michaels fan growing up. That was the first pay-per-view I ever watched. On pay-per-view, as it was happening, was WrestleMania 12 and the giant entrance from the ceiling and all that. Going back before that, I remember me and my brother would wear out the same five wrestling, like the WWF VHS tapes they had at the local Blockbuster every week. So as far back as I can remember, I was a huge wrestling fan.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So then what then got you the bug to just think that, you know, you wanted to do that?
So as far as even going back to a little kid, like when people always ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would always say professional wrestler. And I wish that story continued on to like graduate high school and immediately like went out and sought training. But I actually, right after high school, I spent a semester up here in Denver, well, in Golden, actually, at the School of Mines on the wrestling team there. Didn't work out. I left after a semester, went back to Texas. Ended up, at the time, I knew, like, it would be cool to be a professional wrestler. I still kind of had that dream. I had no idea it was, like, a possibility. And then I end up enrolling at a college in Huntsville, Texas, Sam Houston State University. And there was one day I saw a flyer for a wrestling show running at the University Coliseum. So I went and I just hung around afterwards when they were taking her down the ring and just asked them, like, how do I get into this? And fortunately, it wasn't like a really good wrestling show. So I was able to just kind of jump into a ring and start training with them from there. It wasn't like a full on school. So I just kind of actually lucked into it. I mean, from there I went on and found better people to train under, but yeah, if I hadn't, like if things would have worked out up here at the School of Mines, who knows, I maybe have never gotten into it.
Oh, interesting. So what I, kind of have been gathering through just some, information I've kind of been hearing here and there, and, you know, especially like on the newly launched, RMP radio podcast. So a little cheap plug there.
I appreciate that, sir. I appreciate that. Just trying to get in this podcasting thing a little bit myself.
Yeah. So it feels a little weird being on the other side of that, I suppose.
Little bit, but it's kind of nice and it's fun. And I mean, I'm always down to, you know, sit down and talk about wrestling with anybody. So it's all good.
Yeah. So, did I overhear that, you kind of worked in the, reality of wrestling company promotion there a little bit?
Yeah, so I worked for Booker. So we, you know, going back to the step, I got up here to Colorado earlier this year, right at the end of January-ish. Got hooked with Rocky Mountain Pro, you know, early summer or so. But up until probably early 2017, I think I'd been at Booker's for 3 or 4 years. Had a couple runs with the tag titles down there. Got to wrestle a lot of fun people. I'd go down there and train with them every once in a while. But yeah, no, I was I worked for Booker's for a good 3 or 4 years straight.
Awesome. And then, so what then got your eye on making the jump to Colorado and Rocky Mountain Pro?
So originally Rocky Mountain Pro wasn't, or even wrestling in general, wasn't really in the picture. It was actually almost a year ago. I had what at the time I thought would probably be my last match, not for any particular reason. You know, me and my fiance had just decided that we want to move up near the mountains, and I had spent almost a decade in this business, had some fun, done some really cool stuff. And I was looking into, you know, getting into some other stuff, and we moved up here. Like I said, more for just a change, not for wrestling. But we're sitting on the couch one day watching wrestling, and she decides she wants to start training. So I figured, well, if you're gonna get in the ring, I might as well tag along. And we started looking around, and Rocky Mountain Pro. I'd heard from some of my friends down in Texas that had come up this way that it was a really good place to look. So that's kind of where we started. We got hooked up with Matt Yaden and all them, and it's been a blast ever since.
Okay, yeah. So then your introduction into Rocky Mountain Pro was kind of a auspicious kind of one, I might say. You were, as the storyline goes, you were just some guy in the crowd. How did that all come about?
That was my first one-on-one sit-down meeting with Vince Russo, actually.
Okay.
We had come back, and this isn't going to turn into a Barry Vince Russo. I know people have different opinions on the guy. I've seen some stuff he did that was really good, some stuff I don't personally agree with. This was one of those things that I took a little pause with, but his whole idea was I was just going to jump out of the crowd and be a crazy fan, and he was going to have me wrestle for a couple months, just kind of as a fan before revealing that I knew how to wrestle all along. But really, we kind of by milestone, that was only like the second or third time I'd come out of the crowd, and that was kind of the end of his run with the company. So I talked to Yaden a bit and just pivoted away from that. But I gotta say, it was a good time getting to wrestle in a pair of jeans and a muscle tee. It's actually pretty comfortable.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, it was yeah, I was there, of course. And it was kind of a very quick turnaround too, because you wrestled in Milestone and you won the Colorado Cup.
I did. Entered first and won the Colorado Cup. And that the biggest reason for the quick change too was, even though I'm new to Rocky Mountain Pro, like I said, I've been in this for almost a decade. I came in and quickly started helping out with the coaching and stuff. And at a certain point, it does better for the entire company to not have one of the guys that's a little more experienced than one of your vets going out there and having to have matches where I have to pretend I can't wrestle. So that doesn't really help, because above all else, we are a company based off of the school, and a big part of our shows and our platform is bringing those students up through the school and teaching them the business. So it was just a really good business decision to have another person that could go out there and kind of help carry the younger people through matches.
Right. You know, as the tagline goes, you know, Rocky Mountain Pro is powered by the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we got big plans coming in 2019, not just for Rocky Mountain Pro, but for the Academy as well. We're they're gonna have their own 1 hour show right before Charged every week. So we're gonna have a chance to showcase the students. So we got a good crop of kids coming up. So it's gonna be a fun year.
Yeah, so yeah, tell the listeners a little bit more about that. Why the change? What's the thought process on doing that? And this is all in conjunction with the Twitch stream.
Yes, sir. So we got approached by Twitch earlier this year about partnering with them, and partnered with them. So anyone can host on Twitch, whatever they want. You start your own channel and you stream. If you have a certain amount of following, you put like you're an official Twitch partner. So we're the official like wrestling partner of Twitch, which means we'll get put on the front page and a little more featured and all that kind of stuff. We do some branding things with them, and so they came to us and they wanted wrestling. When they started that platform, it was the old Justin.tv that was all video.
Right.
And when they started, they wanted to get as far away from that as possible. But after a couple of years of just the gaming stuff, they realized there's still a big demand and market for other content. And that's kind of where they developed their In Real Life wing. That's a lot more, it's kind of like reality TV. But not like trashy scripted reality TV. It's just a whole wing of people doing other things outside of just gaming. So there's like cosplay people and there's all kinds of cool stuff. So we fortunately ended up being the company they wanted to work with to be their official partner. So one thing we flew out back in the end of October. We flew out to San Diego and actually got invited to TwitchCon to host a panel about adapting wrestling for the Twitch era. And one thing we went back and looked at was, being a student-run school, we're not going to go out there and be your PWG, your Ring of Honor, and have these like epic, awesome, five-star, just crazy spot fest matches. And just to be clear, I have no problem with those matches. I love all wrestling. I love the super technical, awesome, just in-ring part of it. But I also love the storyline-driven, week-to-week, out-of-ring part of it. You know, kind of back like a lot of us watched through the Attitude Era and even the era before that, where, you know, the wrestling still has to be decent. It still has to be good. You're going to draw some people with that. But you really don't have that just week to week. You want to keep tuning in just to see where the story goes. And the wrestling's the medium where you tell that story, but the priority is still the story itself and not necessarily just going out there and blowing people away with moves and matches and stuff. So tying that back to Twitch, when they came to us and made us a partner, one thing they kept asking for was, hey, we want as much just live content as you can create, because a big part of Twitch is that audience feedback. So after a while, we started thinking about it. Well, how do we get them more live wrestling? And, you know, if we're going to give them that live product all the time, we want to put everything behind it. So fast forward, or backtrack, I guess, however you want to look at it, to I think it was 2 months ago in October, Matt Yaden went out to Louisville for Ohio Valley Wrestling's 20-year anniversary, sat down talking to Al Snow, and Ohio Valley Wrestling's been running every Wednesday for 20 years. And Matt asked him, hey, you know, do you think I could run weekly? And Al told him, I've been telling you to run weekly for years. So Matt came back, he called me, we had a long discussion about it, and we decided, you know what, if we're going to do this Twitch partnership thing, we're going to lean all in, but we're going to give people something different. So starting January 3rd, we're going to have a two-hour block every Thursday night starting at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. That first hour is going to be Ignition, and that's going to be our student showcase. It'll be a bunch of matches with the newer kids. We'll have some vets in there as well. It'll be kind of cool. It'll be similar to what NXT was in the earlier days, not before it came this awesome brand it is now, but you're going to have some people coming down from, you know, the quote-unquote main roster. It's all still the same roster of our school, but you'll have people coming down to have matches with the younger people. You'll get to see the students as they're getting ready and getting better. And we're also going to let the fans vote. You know, it might take a couple weeks to work this system in and to figure out logistically how to do it, but we want to let fans vote every week on one student from the showcase to work charge the next week. So that showcase will be 7 to 8. 8 to 9 is Charge, which will be our flagship show. It's going to be a one-hour weekly episodic show. Plenty of wrestling, a lot of backstage stuff, but it's going to be a little bit shorter, not as much like the long, drawn-out in-ring promos you see on Raw. We kind of want more of that old studio show feeling, or like those first couple years of Raw, where it's some shorter matches, a lot of character work, and all that kind of good stuff, and just an entertaining way to tell a story an hour a week that people that, you know, might be kind of missing that older style of pro wrestling, we want to give them, you know, we want to give them an alternative to, you know, watching Raw for 3 hours every week and or going and watching, you know, your shows like Ring of Honor that are a little more directed around just the wrestling itself. So yeah, that 2 hour block starting January 3rd is going to be a really fun project to work on.
Oh, awesome. Well, I definitely like hearing that. I wanted to kind of backtrack on a little bit of a question. So how did it feel that Twitch approached you, Rocky Mountain Pro, versus, probably one of their biggest companies on Twitch as well is Impact Wrestling, you know, so they picked you instead of somebody over that has an actual, you know, national TV deal.
Right. And one cool thing is we actually, you know, Matt Yaden used to work for Impact. He has a really good relationship with that office. And originally, there's still been ongoing talks on how to figure it out. You know, we've been talking with Impact about, you know, doing some stuff. We're all on the, you know, the Global Wrestling Network. Our stuff all airs in the UK together and all that. So I think that relationship with Impact actually kind of helped us. Uh-huh. I know, you know, the relationship with Vince Russo at the time helped us out a lot with that as well. They liked that Vince was writing the show. And I think what they wanted at the time too was their own commodity. They didn't want to necessarily bring in something that had a lot of name value. They wanted to, you know, an organically grown like Twitch wrestling company. So we were, you know, a big part of it was right place, right time, knowing the right people. You know, Matt Yaden having those contacts, and honestly, just Matt Yaden being one of the most likable guys you'll ever meet. I think that's helped this company more than almost anything else, because Matt knows so many people in this business that only have good things to say about him because he's been around, and he's just, you know, he's a guy that's hard not to like. So I think that helps out a well. But going back to your, you know, going back to your question, it's pretty cool that out of all the wrestling out there and all the possible directions they could have come, that, you know, they came to us and they're letting us pick up the ball and run with it and try and produce something great.
Right. Well, and then speaking of picking up the ball, Rocky Mountain Pro has a very special, let's call it, prize coming up concerning Twitch.
That we do. That's going to be Friday, December 28th, the Rocky Mountain Pro Experience, live from the Rack House Pub in downtown Denver. This is going to be an awesome event. And as far as the – I'll go back in a second, kind of lay out what all we're doing with that event. It's going to be a real good time. But the specifically to Twitch and what you're alluding to is we're going to crown our first official Twitch champion. So we're going to have a title that's going to be – specifically defended on Twitch, although most of our stuff that we do will always be live streamed, but it's going to be a very specific to charge title that we're going to let the fans kind of voice their opinions on Twitch about who they want to see compete for it, how they like, what kind of matches they want to see, all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to make the most interactive title in pro wrestling with that Twitch championship, and we're going to crown our first Twitch champion on December 28th at our RMP experience.
Oh, well, that should be very, very cool. I can't wait to experience that. Sorry, just kind of float out there at the Rack House, as we all are, as fans say, Rack House Rowdy. So,
and it's gonna be cool because we're not just, that's not just the Twitch show. The experience itself is gonna be a bit of an evolution from our normal Rack House show. So Instead of just running a wrestling show from, you know, Eastern from 10 to midnight, we're actually opening the doors at Rack House at 5 p.m. We've lowered ticket prices from 20 to 10. So we're giving people an entire evening of a bunch of different stuff. We're going to have live music. They're going to have the beer hall games in the back. We're going to have a few of our Twitch shows. We'll be doing live broadcasts from Rack House gearing up towards the show. And then from 9 to 11, we'll run, you know, the live wrestling show. But we're going to kind of have a wrestling-themed party all night long from, you know, 5 p.m. till about midnight. So it's going to be a really good time.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to ask about that. Why? Because previously the Rack House shows were called the Bruise and Body Slam Tour. So I was wondering what the name change evolved and what that was concerning. So you already answered that before I even got the chance to ask it.
The name change really just kind of encompasses what we're trying to create. We sat down with Chris Rip, who runs the beer hall at Rack House, and can't say more than, yeah, I mean, I can't say enough good things about Chris. He is a dedicated wrestling fan, and he busts his ass just as much as us every month to make that show special. Yeah. And we sat down with him a few weeks ago, and we were just brainstorming, how do we make that bigger? And we realized, especially that district of downtown has so many people that are open to all kinds of entertainment that might become wrestling fans if they're exposed to it. But if you just have, you know, you're just advertising a wrestling show, they might walk on by. Whereas if we can give them a full evening of, you know, where they might have come out and, you know, played the beer hall games anyway, now they come in, they hang out, they have a great time, and they get to see some pro wrestling, get exposed to our product as well. So I think it's going to be awesome for just, you know, bringing more eyes on a Rocky Mountain Pro and just pro wrestling in general, and also just kind of get more involved with that Rhino community down there.
Awesome. That's sounds like a lot of fun. I can't wait to the end of the month to do that.
One really quick note. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but one more really quick note about that. Anyone that buys their tickets online in advance is going to be entered into a raffle. We're going to draw a name at 8:30, so 30 minutes before the wrestling starts. Whoever gets drawn, them and one fan get to sit on the stage that we enter through, and Rack House is going to provide free drinks all night long to that fan and their friend.
Ooh, that sounds like a very good reason to purchase
tickets. It's going to be a VIP experience.
That should be fun. Oh, okay. All right. So, let's change gears just a little bit and talk about you, the wrestler. So, how did when you got involved with Rocky Mountain Pro, how did it come about that you got the quick little promotion to president of Rocky Mountain Pro? Just
A lot
explain.
of that was showing up at the right place at the right time. Kind of as I was coming in, it wasn't long before Vince Russo was stepping aside. There was a lot of turnover at that time. There was a lot of, people wondering what direction we were going to go and all that. So there was an immediate need for someone experienced to step in and help with the booking. I jumped in on that. Right about that time, Hoodie, who was helping with the booking, and he was the former president of the company, got an awesome opportunity to go to Kansas City and work for Tech N9ne's music label, Strange Music, and their video production team. And Hoodie's awesome. He edits a lot of our video and all that stuff, aside from being an amazing wrestler. So it was, Russo left, and then I kind of jumped in to help with the booking, and then Hoodie was leaving, and Matt just needed somebody that, was just reliable and experienced in the business, that could come in and kind of help pull everything together and help with the writing of TV and the shows, help with some of the coaching, and kind of help with some of the just the promotion and the direction of the company. And it just kind of worked out that, my experience being in the business for a while and seeing the way Booker T ran his, like they do, they were doing taping similar to we were, back until we decided to go live. So that I had that experience in that TV style production. I've done some work with Ring of Honor. I was working with the NWA back when, a few years ago when they were kind of having that resurgence and, they were doing stuff with New Japan. I was on those invasion shows and all that. I just seen a lot of people, just kind of running shows from behind that I just, I had the experience and I wanted to do it. And I don't know how many people were stepping up to kind of take on all that responsibility. So it just kind of worked out.
Oh, awesome. So, let's talk about a little bit about your wrestling. Do you have any favorite moments, memorable moments in your career so
So
far?
there's been a couple. One of the biggest was the first time I worked extra talent for WWE, which most pro wrestlers get a chance to do at some point or the other. So it's not as big of a deal, like in terms of, they bring in extras, they need them for the show. It's not always as big of a deal as some guys make it out to be, and I don't want to, sound like I'm making it seem bigger than it is, but the first time they use you for a segment and you walk out there live in front of the crowd, and the cameras are rolling, and all you can think about is telling yourself, don't smile, don't smile, don't smile. That was cool because when I did that, I remembered being a little kid and just always wanting to be a pro wrestler. And I wasn't there to have a match. I wasn't even there to like get looked at as a tryout or anything. But it was that moment where I was like, hey, you know what? I made a couple cool decisions, and now I'm walking down the ramp on Monday Night Raw live on the show. So that was a big one. The other one I actually alluded to in my podcast with Severino Corrente the other day. This is probably 2013. We did a 30-hour drive from San Antonio to Brooklyn. We got to the venue during the first match. Me and my tag partner in a four-way tag match in the second match. So we get there, we're changing into our gear. We talk some quick stuff over with the other guys in the match we've never met before. We just kind of go out there. We wing it. We make it happen. Have a decent match. The show ends. I spend like 2 hours at the hotel bar, then fly back to Houston, hop in a car with a friend to San Antonio, and then went and had a 30-minute street fight with current NXT superstar Rhea Ripley, where we just kind of beat the living piss out of each other for half an hour. And that was just a fun whirlwind traveling wrestling weekend that ended with, 400 people on their feet, because that was the main event of that night, that street fight. We had 400 people on their feet clapping. We walked through the curtain. We have the entire roster on their feet clapping and stuff. And it was probably the most fun weekend I've had in pro wrestling.
Oh, awesome. So, do you have any favorite opponents or possibly even favorite tag team partners?
So I've had quite a few tag team partners in my day. Ruthless Ryan Davidson, who wrestles down for Booker T still, he gets around a lot down in Texas. Moonshine Mantell, also known as Maverick from NWL. I was actually there when he first started training. I kind of helped out training him at Rudy Boy's school. We tagged for a while. Moonshine's also one of my favorite opponents because I could walk out there at any time of day without saying a word, and we could go out there and do 20 to 30 minutes of good wrestling, just kind of off a field because we're that familiar with each other. And then going back farther, when I first started, still one of my good friends this day, a guy named the Nightmare Nick Guidry. He hasn't wrestled in a while, but it was always a good time tagging with him just because if he when I first got into this, I was kind of the one that could work, and he was the one that was just so charismatic and likable that he would get us booked and brought back places. And then finally, I spent a good, 2 or 3 years tagging with and wrestling against my buddy Cowboy James Claxton, who he hasn't wrestled in a while either. But that was always fun, except actually, come to think of it, in every single tag team I've ever been in, I'm always a smaller guy, so I'm always the one that's got to bump more while the other one just stands on the apron. But I've actually spent a good deal of my career being a tag team wrestler, and I love good tag team wrestling.
Awesome. But what about anybody you have your eye on that you'd like to get into the ring with?
I would like to get in the ring with Hoodie. I got a chance to wrestle Anaya last month at the Quarry. I would love to go out there and wrestle with Hoodie one of these days. As far as in the Rocky Mountain Pro Sphere, that's one of the biggest, kind of established names. Outside of that, though, I'm really just looking forward to some of our students kind of as they start figuring out a little bit more, getting out there and working with them. I've always enjoyed more going out there and kind of helping take younger people through a better match than going out there and tearing it down with some of the more established people. But yeah, no, if I had to pick one to go one-on-one with, I think right now Hoodie would be up there.
Okay. Well, since you just, I just thought of it and you've just mentioned it, since you're doing some training as well, who should we be keeping an eye out for that's in the current crop of students?
So we've got a few people that have been coming up recently. Bruce Wayans, naturally super charismatic, probably low key the most legit athlete on the entire Rocky Mountain Pro roster. A lot of people don't know he used to be on the Denver Broncos practice squad. He's a big dude too, and he's deceptively quick and agile, but just a ton of character, a ton of charisma. He's one that's coming up and figuring things out. We've got some younger students that aren't even quite ready, like, to really go out there and have a match yet, but they're getting there. We got this one guy, Art. The dude has not had a match yet, and he's already shaved one half of his head and the opposite half of his facial hair just to try out different things. And I love the kind of commitment. Also, Art's just he's kind of a bigger dude, but he's so good at like facial expressions and just carrying his size around that he's going to be super entertaining. Anyone that's vaguely familiar with the show already knows about Atiba. That kid's gonna go places. Naturally charismatic, naturally athletic. He just needs a little more experience, but he's gonna be great. But yeah, we have a few people that I'm not gonna mention just yet because I don't want to give him a big head. But we've got a few people down in the school that are fairly new that are really going in there. They're busting their ass. They're working hard. And I think by mid next year, maybe milestone, there's gonna be some new faces surprising people in Rocky Mountain Pro.
Oh, great. That's awesome to hear. And it looks like, from what I'm gathering, it looks like you guys have a pretty good amount of students right now, too.
Yeah, so the school in the last month or two has really been blowing up. I think the Twitch stuff has helped a lot. Just kind of, you go searching schools and you see the company they're attached to. You're always going to Google and YouTube and look around. So I think seeing all the cool stuff we're doing is great. And it's also, we get an opportunity to, provide something not a lot of schools do. We're going to be, once we go live January 3rd, we're going to be one of very few companies running a live weekly show that's being produced and aired while it happens. That's, Impact does tapings, NXT does tapings outside of, their big takeover events. Live TV's hard, but if you ever want to make it to that top level, you got to know how to do it. So I think having that component of people learning how to hit their times, how to you know get their segments in and out, and how to just work live TV and kind of be out there without a safety net is going to be a huge draw to the school. That on top of just the eyes we'll have on the student showcase and charge itself from being on the front page on Twitch on a fairly regular basis, that's usually good for about 5 to 10,000 viewers on any given show at a minimum. So we got a lot of awesome stuff to really offer, and that's the biggest thing with the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy is it's not, hey, we just want to teach you how to be a teach you how to wrestle. We want to teach you how to be a professional wrestler, and we want to make sure that if you're going to come on down and sign up to train, that we're teaching you everything you need to know to be as successful as you want to push yourself to be in this business.
Great. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Well, Austin, I want to thank you for your time, but before I let you go, please tell all the listeners they wanted to check up on you in social media where they can find you and Rocky Mountain Pro and Rocky Mountain Pro upcoming events and all that kind of thing stuff.
Yes, sir. So, social media, it's Austin Reddick RMP on Twitter and Instagram, Austin Reddick on Facebook. I don't do a ton on that Facebook, but I'll post updates and stuff from time to time. I do a lot more Twitter than anything else. So if you want to chat with Austin Reddick, just at me and we'll see what's up. There's the podcast you brought up earlier, RMP Radio, available on Podbean, and I believe it's on iTunes now. I think it's gone through. I've seen on the stats that we're getting some kind of iTunes downloading through there. So we're 2 episodes deep. We're doing a live episode on Twitch tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. That'll be kind of our first live video one. We'll see how all that works out. But I got actually Art, the guy with the half-shaved head I was talking about earlier, he used to do a conspiracy theory podcast. So
Oh.
he's gonna come over. We're gonna sit around, talk about some creepy stuff. Hopefully, if things work out right, we have a Shade from RMP Twitch show, Accelerating Shade, our resident officer of the occult and all kinds of spooky shit. She's coming by. Hopefully she's going to make it. So we'll have a fun little podcast then. But yeah, RMP Radio, I'm going to try and turn out 2 to 3 of those a week. It's a great time. Wrestling's going to be brought up from time to time because wrestlers like to talk about it. But that one's going to be more geared towards just having some good conversations with other members of the roster and people involved with Rocky Mount Pro. So you get to kind of get behind the curtain and see who these people are. So, as far as the company itself, Rocky Mountain Pro on Twitch, that's where you'll find basically anytime we're in a ring, there's going to be a camera rolling. It's going to be live. We have original shows. Like I said, we have Accelerating Shade. She talks about all kinds of cool, spooky stuff and conspiracies and witchcraft and whatnot. We got Smart Mark Football with Severino Corrente. He breaks down, it's more of a fantasy football-based show. Punished by Pixels with Curtis Cole and Matt Yaden. We got my personal favorite, the Chongo Don't Show. If y'all haven't seen that, that dude is crazy. We have a bunch of awesome shows, and we've got the schedule, all that stuff on our Twitch. It's Rocky Mountain Pro on Twitch. And then finally, rmpwrestling.com and Rocky Mountain Pro on Facebook will keep you up to date on dates and all that. To finish out the year, we got next Saturday, December 15th, we're going to be at the Quarry. And then December 28th, we're at Rack House Pub downtown for that big Rocky Mountain Pro experience and our big first, Twitch partnered show. And then January 3rd, every Thursday, live at the Quarry from 7 to 9 p.m. Mountain Time, we got Ignition in Charge. It's going to be a fun year. We got over 70 events scheduled in 2019.
All right. Sounds fantastic. So, once again, Austin, thank you for your time and coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Artie, man. Anytime.
Okay, thanks. Once again, a big thank you to Austin Reddick for coming on to the show, talking Rocky Mountain Pro, Twitch, and wrestling. Remember, they have some upcoming events this month. On December 15th, they have the charged taping from the quarry in Golden, Colorado. And on the 28th, the Rocky Mountain Pro Experience from the Rack House Pub in Denver, Colorado. Tickets can be found at rmpwrestling.com. Also, before that, this upcoming weekend, on December 8th, we have Colorado Springs Wrestling presents Final Countdown, coming from the Hillside Community Center at 9 25 South Institute Street in Colorado Springs. You can get tickets ahead of time, save $5 at coloradospringswrestling.com, or you can get tickets at the door. I believe you save $5 if you get your tickets ahead of time. Then on Sunday, Tammy's Lucha Libre is having an event at 6324 Ivy Street in Commerce City, Colorado. Doors open at 5:30. And if you need some more information, you can call 720-364-9037. Hey, I think that's all I have for this time around. Once again, this is Mr. Fourth Row. And that is my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. We'll be right back.